People talk about the Chinese miracle. There's no Chinese miracle. It's the American miracle. The reason all those jobs and all that activity and all that GDP growth happened is because we opened factories there.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the North Point of View, here with Dr. Walter Kimsey. Walter, how are you?
Mark, I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. Really
Are you going to carry through in your threats to make sure we keep these tapes?
4 minutes?
Something like that?
No.
All right, good.
Not at all. We got a laundry list of things to go through, right?
Right.
I don't know what to call it right now. Trump world.
Yeah.
The guy today was talking about an old SNL skit where he's talking about the horse in the hospital. Like, you don't know what's going to happen next, right?
No, exactly.
The horse is in the elevator.
I got good friends of mine, both on the red side and the blue side of things, and they refer to him as Agent Orange.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's like,
so there's
but it's always so with respect. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know,
he's the president.
Yeah, he's the president.
I know you and I have a lot of things to talk about. Earlier, we were talking about the story behind the story.
Right.
And there are some really big stories sort of behind some of what we've seen being played out, right?
Right.
You know, you talk about the issues with Mexico and the cartels and an issue that has been brewing for decades that needs to be addressed.
Right. You know, before we start on that, take the first step. I grew up in a world of spy v. spy. My dad worked for USAID. The way we got countries on our side is we gave them favorable terms of trade. And we built them infrastructure.
Right.
So my dad is a civil engineer, and he was inspecting homes that were being built for the poor and all around Brazil. My dad was born in Brazil, so you know it was kind of coming home for him. And as time went by, we had to push the Russians out of Brazil. And the military dictatorship that took over on my mom's birthday in 1964, we'd just gotten there a few weeks earlier. And I remember looking from our penthouse, looking down and seeing the tanks in the street.
Wow.
And my dad said, remember this day, it'll mean something to you, but not right now, you're just a stupid 6-year-old kid. But we saw that. And over the years, a lot of things happened. My dad did a lot of technical work for unions. He wasn't a trade unionist, but he did technical work. And he got prosecuted as a communist by the military in Brazil, but they couldn't prove he was, and so they set him free. And he wasn't. He was just, I do my job. I'm a technical guy. But we had a lot of weird stuff going on, and my dad looked, English-German, and he didn't look like a Brazilian, just like I don't, But fluent in Portuguese, as am I. I grew up in the country. And people would say stuff around him, and he would pass that, on. And one day I asked my dad, I said, you're so passionate about Brazil and its future. Why would you rat on these guys? And he goes, I'm not ratting on them. He goes, this is remarkable that my dad would say this to me at 50, 60 years ago. And he said, there are only two countries in the world. There's Russia and there's the United States. And if you're not for the United States, then you're for Russia. And that's why we help America out as best we can. And he goes, and that's the reality of life. It's the reality for Europe. It's the reality for Japan, for Korea. They basically, you have your choice. It's one or the other.
Pick one.
Yeah. And then he said, and we had weird things happen. I mean, they used to have women call my mom and say they were going out with my dad when they weren't. One time my dad dropped talcum powder behind our front door when we left for the weekend, and when we came back, there were footsteps in it. Yeah. And my dad said, okay, we have people come in our house. Our phone used to whir and click, and he explained that it was people listening in on the calls. So I grew up with this up front and close. I mean, I knew who his friends were at the AID, at the U.S. Embassy, which was still in Rio at the time. And my dad told me, he goes, after I die, but before you die, China will be the new Russia, because Russia is just rotten to the core. They're going to lose all the good people. What's left are just going to be terrible folks, and eventually they'll collapse, and either into Europe's hands or China's. But He goes, in your day? Well, my dad died in the year 2000. The next year, China joined the WTO. That was 2001. And the American miracle in China started. People talk about the Chinese miracle. There's no Chinese miracle. It's the American miracle, right? The reason all those jobs and all that activity and all that GDP growth happened is because we opened factories there, not because the Communist Party knew what they were doing. I mean, hell, they lost millions of people with starvation in
right.
the 60s.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah.
And so, and on my dad's side, he goes, there will always be a struggle for world domination. And he goes, and you have to pray that the U.S. stays there. He goes, the Pax Americana is amazing. And right now, there is a threat to the U.S. coming from China. China now has more naval ships than we do. They're building a lot of icebreakers. And they are looking at the Northeast and Northwest passages. And I would guess they may want to have stake some land in the North Pole and say that's part of China. It's kind of, you know, scary. And if I know about this, I'm sure the folks in Washington know it a lot better. And I think
there's layers to it too, right?
There are, I mean, exactly. There's layers to
this. It's amazing. But Walter, I mean, you and I've been doing this for a while. It was so great to hear you sort of roll back to your childhood. And I really appreciate the stories and the conversations with you and your dad. I mean, that's special. I'm glad we got that. And the reality of all of that, right? How true that is, right?
It's finally out.
And the fact that it was two countries then, and it's now.
Still two countries.
Two countries.
Yeah.
Just as he predicted it would be. And again, as you and I were talking earlier, and everything else becomes a subset of that conversation. The Greenland stuff, there's a depth there.
Yeah.
Right? It's Canadian stuff, the Mexican stuff. And being presented on stage is one thing, but there's a lot going on backstage.
You can't, I mean, it takes too many words to explain this stuff. I mean, you know, I always overshoot the time budget we have for the podcast, but it's just not a simple thing.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't speak to your average voter who votes for whoever looks the prettiest, the most handsome, who they think is the most successful, whatever. Hey, whatever criteria they have. People don't do their research. They don't want to take the time and think about it. And the guys we get to hang out with and the ladies, they're a different bunch. And exactly what you said, they're layers. And so sometimes the fastest way to get the crowd to pay attention to things is to, you know, just a couple of sentences, however, you know, incorrect they may be, it at least gets the attention and try to push things in the right direction. We're not justifying anybody or criticizing.
Right.
It's the reality.
There is a deep narrative.
Yes.
And so based on where we are right now, and we've got a lot to work with here, so we'll try to break it up into some kind of logical manner. But the thing that you said about Mexico earlier.
Right.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah,
because it makes a difference and it gives you perspective on what's going on right now.
So about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. My office was in Manhattan. I used to get invited to all kinds of, you know, cool kind of United Nations related things. And on one occasion, the president of Colombia, Carlos Uribe, he spoke. And the guy at my table knew him real well. And so the president came to our table and went around and just chatted with us. Why were we there? He was curious. And so I told him, you know, I'd grown up in Brazil. And immediately the Latin commonality between us came through and we started to talk and he pulled up a chair and we sat there just two dudes, you know, hanging out in the middle of this nice lunch in, you know, the Waldorf Astoria.
You and the president of Colombia.
And president of Colombia. I mean, I was like, what am I doing here? I'm such a privileged guy.
Forrest Gump, right?
You're just, exactly.
I'm here. I'm in the moment.
So he's the guy who got all the credit for getting rid of the Colombian cocaine cartels.
Right.
And she said he didn't deserve. Because it was the work of many people. I just happened to be the guy who got the ball just before the goal line.
Right.
And I ran three steps and, but he goes, all the work that went into getting the ball there. And he said the work was the U.S. military intervention in Colombia. He goes, we could never get out of that on our own. It was the highest value industry, better than our petroleum, better than our agriculture, better than anything that made the most money. And that industry will always rule. It's like America's kind of corrupted because Wall Street and finance is 40% of our GDP. And so, you know, every president, whether you're Democrat or Republican, it's like Goldman, JP Morgan, Citibank, you got to go up to those guys because it's a big chunk of the economy. Now, I'm not saying it's the same as the cocaine guys. We could make cheeky remarks, but that's not the intention. The point that he made to me is it was a big part of their economy. And all of their elected officials were connected to this, either threatened or bribed by these folks. And if it wasn't for the U.S. military intervention, Colombia would still, till today, be a, you know, horrible, you know, drug cartel, you know, ridden country. And then he said to me, he goes, Mexico is just as bad. Mexico will never achieve its potential like we are achieving ours. You know, Colombia advanced so much, we make technology products there. Yeah. People go there for medical treatment. You can get, you know, a
Bill Glass went there a month ago in spring break with his family.
Yeah. It's a very attractive place. But you can get, you know, like elective surgery done for like $5,000, whereas you go to American hospital, it's $250,000. So they did that. And he said, and Mexico will need United States to intervene militarily. And so it's, you got to soften up the population, get them to recognize that, you know, although a lot of money is given by the cartels to local charities, they, I mean, if you talk to people who operate the maquiladoras, and I've been privileged to talk to them, you know, you show up on day one, nobody bothers you. A week later, you get a visit from some guy. He gives you a card and there's a phone number and he goes, we do a lot for the community. And everything outside your walls, we take care of. Everything that happens inside the walls, you take care of. But don't get any ideas about what happens outside the walls.
Right.
And we're going to get along beautifully. And, you know, all the threats and everything implied in that. Well, you know, that's the system. Is that good? Well, I don't think so. There's a flood of drugs coming in over the border from Mexico. Whether it starts in China or Afghanistan, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Mexico deserves a much better nation, a much better economy, a much better world.
The people do.
People don't have to live in fear. So I think to a large extent, you know, that should be done. By the way, my grandmother was born in Cuernavaca, which is the Europe of Mexico. And her father built bridges in Mexico, and his dumbass son joined the Zapata Revolution, and he was out there blowing up the bridges his dad had engineered. So my great-grandfather got so pissed off that he left Mexico and went to Brazil, and that's why my dad ended up being born there. It's where my grandmother got married. But
the rest of the story.
Yeah. So the first part of the story is Mexico. Anyways, I love Mexico. We've both been there. It's a terrific place, and you just wish it well. And you know, they're not in the best of shapes.
And the story behind the story is that there's a narrative waiting to be played out. It gives sort of the foundation for a better country for the people of Mexico.
That's right.
And that narrative's not being discussed anywhere that I can find right now.
No. There isn't. In fact, you know, not to piss off our European friends, but I'm going to do it anyways. We haven't done a damn thing for Mexico. Oh, we put factories there. We create jobs. But the place is a terrible place to live. Well, that's their problem. It's not. It's our problem. Ours. The world problem. If one place sucks, it makes the world a suckier place for everybody. So, you know, you sometimes have to, you know, fish with the different things. You know, sometimes you use a net and a club and sometimes a fishing rod and, you know. So let's hope that the latest method works.
Well, I think that that's, you know, that's a great set of stories for us to start. Sort of the context or the perspective for our next three or four podcasts.
Yes.
Is that there are two countries, two nations, and every conversation is a subset of that. There is a story behind the story behind the story.
Right.
And there's another story behind that that we'll never even know.
No, exactly.
Correct.
I was privileged to know a lot of people in the federal government and in the military, and they educated me. But I can tell you, up until recently, it was hard for me because I view the world from this angle that You need the private sector to drive the economy. You need the private sector to achieve real prosperity. And this nonsense that Xi is doing in China, destroying China yet again. I mean, oh, a history of they reach a great point and then some idiot despot, oh, yeah, I know better than billions of people. And so that's, you know, really sad, Mark. And
I reread some of that history of China in the 50s and 60s, and it's...
Oh, it's awful, the starvation.
It's mind-numbingly painful to read.
And it's sad to see right now, up until Xi, China was on the ascent.
Right.
But then he came in and, you know, he's anything. He wants to be a historically significant figure. Oh, man, it's all about you. That's where the problems start. So we have to help China. But the problem with America is both Republicans, Democrats, we're do-goodies. We try to help Russia out after, you know, when Perestroika started. And it worked for a little bit. Unfortunately, they elected a serious alcoholic. You know, remember Yeltsin?
Yes.
So then he ended up getting replaced by Putin. It's horrible. I mean, look
at off his notes.
We helped China really come out, you know, from poverty. And then what happens is Xi decides he knows more about the way the Chinese economy should be than the private sector. No. So right now we're unfortunately in a world where the policy matters a hell of a lot more. And yes, we don't know the story behind this story.
So with that, we're going to roll. We've got another one coming up. You guys stay tuned. We'll see you soon. Walter, always a pleasure.
All right, man. Good seeing you, Mark.
Thanks, Walter.